Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Elijah sat under the broom tree sulking and feeling sorry for himself. Well, I'm sure that you can't relate. I'm sure that you have never sulked. You have never thrown a pity party for yourself. That you have never felt sorry for yourself. And there, Elijah sat under the broom tree, sulking and feeling sorry for himself. You can sense the despair in Elijah's complaint. Enough, Lord, I've had enough. Take my life if you want it, but just let me be. It was one of those Calgon, take me away moments. Elijah's problem was that he felt God had abandoned him. Elijah certainly wasn't the only one of God's chosen prophets to complain about that. Moses protested that leading Israel was too much to do alone. Jonah felt that God had left him twisting in the wind when God let Nineveh off the hook. And Jeremiah, he complained bitterly about having no say in his career choice, since once God called him to be a prophet, there was no escape. From Elijah's perspective, things just weren't fair. He'd been an eyewitness. He'd been an eyewitness to God's miraculous power, his faithfulness and power. And God cared for him during those three-year drought. God demonstrated his power through him by defeating the prophets of Baal on top of Mount Carmel. And God sent rain at Elijah's request. But at the very first angry words of Israel's pagan queen Jezebel, Elijah turns tail and runs away. At least twice, Elijah will whine to God, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Elijah's real problem is that he was so turned in on himself because of sin that he shut God out of his life and he fell into a deep despair. And Martin Luther described the effects of sin by using this Latin word, incurvatus. Sin separates us from God, and it turns our attention towards ourselves. We curve in on ourselves. We look to ourselves. And when we look to ourselves, we discover our own weaknesses, our inability to provide for ourselves or protect ourselves, our inability to save ourselves, and we quickly fall into despair. It's like we've curled up into a little ball and we lose sight of all that God is and all that God does for us. And the reality is, I'm Elijah. Oh, not that I have experienced the kind of miraculous power of Elijah. God performed 16 miracles through him. And not that God has ever chosen me to be his instrument in a demonstration of his power against a fake God on Mount Carmel. I'm Elijah because I easily find myself forgetting all the wonderful things that God has done for me. I easily find myself curving in on myself in my sin. I easily find myself looking inside myself for hope, for power, for strength, for goodness, for value. And I am disappointed again and again because I don't see what I am looking for. And I feel cut off from God. And when I'm cut off from God by my sin, I'm cut off from everyone else as well. So I find myself a little broom tree of some kind to whine. And nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. God, why don't you just leave me alone? Why don't you just take my life and be done with it? Are you Elijah too? I'm Elijah. I sometimes feel as if I have worked so hard, given so much, and nobody notices, especially God. And my sin blinds me from seeing how God is at work in me. And I end up wallowing in my own self-pity. Are you Elijah too? Sin, when allowed to run its course, to run rampant, tightens us up into such a tight ball that we can even lose sight of the fact that God is. And we head for that broom tree. Some of us hide in whining and complaining. Some hide in turning into a workaholic, thinking that we can pull ourselves out of despair by our own bootstraps. Some try to find solace in a bottle, in a drug, in sex. Some search for deliverance in power trips. But we're all doing our searching under the wrong broom tree. God's solution is to get our attention and to give us the food and strength for the journey of our lives. There's no mountain he won't climb up. There's no shadow that he won't light up. He comes after us. He leaves the 99 and he comes after you and he says, "Arise and eat." God said, "Arise and eat." He sent an angel to Elijah to bring food and drink to sustain him for his journey. God told the prophet he was not alone, that God had reserved for himself some 7,000 Israelites who had not worshipped Baal. God had not abandoned Elijah. And he turned Elijah out from himself back toward God. And God will not leave us turned in on ourselves. He turns us out toward him. And he does that by proving just how focused he is on us. God hasn't abandoned us at all. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to hang upon the cross in our place. He didn't abandon us. He abandoned Jesus Christ, his own son, in our place. This is made painfully obvious in Jesus' cry from the cross, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, sin's power over us was destroyed. We're free. We're victorious. Just like Kaylee was showing in the baptism, raising her hands in the air, we're victorious. We're powerful in Christ. We're protected. We're safe. We have reason to live. By letting us know this, God uncurls us from our sinful condition. He is present. He's our power. He loves us. Hearing this draws our eyes to him and away from ourselves. Furthermore, God has placed us, his chosen ones, into a community of believers so that we can build one another up in the faith. So that we can laugh with one another, so that we can cry with one another, so we can rejoice at baptisms, at weddings, so that we console at funerals. He provides brothers and sisters in the faith to whom we can turn to hear of His love and comfort when we feel weak and discouraged or despairing. He opens our eyes to see Him at work through these brothers and sisters in Christ. And God said, "Arise and eat," and we are fed and nourished for our journey as well. God feeds us His Word as we inwardly digest it in worship and Bible study. And Christ is the very bread of life, the Word incarnate, the Word in flesh, the Word of God. And He gives us His own body and His own blood as food to eat and drink here at this communion rail, at this altar, for you, for your strengthening, given and shed for our forgiveness, offering us the gifts of life and salvation. It is God who turns us outward from ourselves toward Him. And God speaks to us, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too much for you." And strengthened by the food that God provides, we are prepared to continue our journey for God's glory. Amen. Now may the God of peace equip you with everything good, that you may do His will through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.